Livewire with Jeff Dorset.
So it's good to welcome onto my guest here. Now, when you think of Sweden, immediately comes to mind Volvo, IKEA, ABBA, and Eagle Eye Cherry. And aren't we fortunate that we've got one of the four with us today? Welcome, Eagle Eye Cherry.
Thank you.
So how you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. You know, the light at the end of the tunnel has turned up. The world is starting to go to slowly but surely back to where we knew.
Yeah.
Which feels good.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I used to go to Sweden quite a lot in a different business and used to go down to IKEA, which, of course, is their head office is located in a very small area. But, of course, they dominate the landscape there.
Yeah. So you've been to Sweden.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, many times. Many times. Yeah. I mean, lovely, clean country. A bit expensive compared to the UK. I don't think it's quite as expensive as Norway, but it's certainly expensive for a lot of things. But, you know, good standard of living for people.
It's not a bad life. I'm half American, so I've lived a big part of my life in New York. So
yeah.
When I'm in Sweden, I feel American. When I'm in America, I feel Swedish. But it's a good place to be as long as I get to leave a lot. And that's where I have the right job, touring and getting out of town. But having to stay here for over a year without going anywhere has been a challenge, I got to tell you.
I'll bet it has.
There's a Groundhog Day thing going on here.
Now, what about your early inspirations, Eagle Eye, when growing up? Who were the people that you looked and inspired you and you thought, you know, I want to get in this business because of him, her, them? Who were your real inspirations musically?
Well, number one was my dad, who's a jazz musician. I didn't follow him musically, but being around music like that all the time, and he brought us on tour a lot when we were kids, so I was on the road a lot, and obviously that felt like, yeah, I want to do that. Then I got sidetracked for a while. I went to drama school and started working as an actor in New York, but the music was always there, and eventually I got into songwriting and felt like, all right, this is what I want to do. But I do remember my dad took me to a gig when I was maybe 10, 12 years old, and Ian during the Blockheads.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I remember because I'd mostly just been around jazz, and it was the first time I went to a gig that wasn't in that realm, and I remember seeing that gig and going, now that is something I could get into.
Yeah.
And I became a big Ian Dury fan, and then, you know, the first album I ever bought was The Clash, London yeah. Calling, and that's when I started really seeing where I wanted to go musically.
Yeah. And where did you actually see Ian Dury and the Blockheads?
In Lund, in southern Sweden.
Right. Okay. I mean, he was an incredible guy, very much a poet. I mean, when you listen to New Boots and Panties and you picked up on, you know, everything from Billericay Dickey and Sweet Gene Vincent and things like that, but he had a really good turn of phrase and he was almost like poetry at times.
Yeah. I mean, amazing songwriter. You know, I got to meet him and stuff. My dad even, you know, jumped in a couple of times at gigs later on because he was, Ian Dury was a big jazz fan.
Yeah.
But absolutely brilliant man. And the band and everything was just, such a cool vibe. And a great time in music back then, you know, the different kinds of music that was going on then was just...
Yeah, sort of... I mean,
cool
that was... Yeah, I mean, it was difficult. You can't really categorise Ian Dury. I mean, at that time, Eagle Eye, you're looking at, you know, punk and new wave, and you mentioned, obviously, The Clash just now. But that period, sort of 77 through to the New Romantics of 81, you know, that was really an exciting time because, for me as well, you know, working the clubs as a DJ at that time, and I'm thinking to myself very much about the fact that everybody seemed to be bringing out a disco record. Rubbish tunes, but as long as it had a beat, it was a disco song. And then, of course, you got that famous thing in Chicago where they burnt all the disco records and disco was dead. And they were looking for something different. And along comes the Sex Pistols, who couldn't play their instruments, but The Clash could. And suddenly this high energy level was coming through, although Ian Dury probably in the same category as your Squeeze and Nick Lowe and people like that who grew up in what we called the pub rock scene were really strong, but they had this great energy.
Yeah, you said it all. But I mean, it was like because we were living in New York, the loft that we lived in, we were neighbors with the Talking Heads.
Ah.
I used to hear them rehearsing and go down there and check that out. And so I probably heard Psycho Killer more than anybody else.
Yeah.
But that whole scene too in the States with the CBGBs and everything, it was like, and still these bands and this music was getting played on, you know, on radio. It was quite amazing that now when you listen to a lot of the kind of mainstream music, it's like, I'm still waiting for something to come along and just shock the system the way like Nirvana did in the early 90s. And it feels like it's time for something like that now to just kind of get back to basics and just play raw, honest rock.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, that club, of course, CBGBs that you talked about there, I remember doing an interview with the people from Blondie, and they, of course, started there as the Stilettos and then changed their name over to Blondie. But they were saying what an exciting time that club was at the time.
Yeah, I was too young to go there, and I wish I wasn't, because, yeah, that was, it's just a tiny little club, and all these great bands came out of there. It was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. New York, an exciting place to go to. I personally love Brooklyn. Of all the boroughs there, I've been to them all, but for me, great in Brooklyn, great atmosphere, Jewish community, and everything going on there. So very exciting time, but that's my favourite. But there's something about...
I live in Brooklyn a lot, and my first apartment I had in Brooklyn, and it's funny because my new single is about that time when life was just a big party, and you know, I was just in my brand new apartment hanging out with my friends, and every night we were out partying.
Yeah, absolutely. And the beauty, of course, of so much going on in New York as it was, I always remember first time I ever went there, and they had a sale on the sidewalk at 12 o'clock at night. And I'm thinking, I'm coming from England here. You would never do that. But for you, you know, I mean, that debut album, Desireless, was so big, wasn't it? I mean, I've got a note here saying 4 million copies and rising, but I know it was certified platinum. Must have given you a great deal of pleasure, Eagle Eye.
It was totally unexpected, because I left New York, came to Stockholm, and felt like, okay, this is a place I could probably do my thing, because it was less intense. I'd seen the whole music business through my sister when she had her breakthrough with Buffalo Stance and everything, and I felt like that's too much for me, that's too big. And I found this independent label and felt like, this is perfect, I'm going to do a little record, and then slowly but surely maybe I'll build something and eventually I'll conquer the world. But then I wrote this song, Save Tonight, and my whole plan fell apart, and before I knew it, I was like traveling everywhere, gigging, touring for years, and it was just absolutely unbelievable, and I was much more ready for it than I thought I was.
Yeah, I mean, that is such a great song. I played it last week, Save Tonight, and it really was brilliant put together. I mean, do you think of yourself as a writer or an actor, or I suppose a bit of both?
No, I mean, now I'm definitely a musician. That's yeah, definitely what I'm...
What you doing?
That I'm doing. And as a songwriter, I feel, you know, when I made that first album, I was just trying to figure out what I was doing. And that's why it's like Save Tonight only has four chords.
Yeah.
And thank God ignorance can be bliss, because I didn't put any middle eight or anything in there. And that's part of what I think makes that song so great. But at the time, I figured out those four chords on the guitar and I wrote them to the goal. And I think that now, obviously, you know, made several albums, and now I know who I am as a writer, and it's just a lot smoother than it was back then.
Super, yeah. Now tell us all about the new music. As I said, I played I Like It the other day, and it's a really good song, but tell us about the coming together of the new music, how long it took for you to put it together, and what's the single all about?
Well, I Like It, basically, I had the song, so when we got off a tour, my plan was to get the band in as quickly as possible, because I really wanted to get the energy that we had live. And we went in and laid down a few songs, and one of them was I Like It. And, you know, the minute we started playing that song, I could feel, oh, yeah. And then just that feeling of wanting to get out and play it live. And that's the energy of the tune. And like I said earlier, the song basically is about that time when life was just a party, and every night I was out, and I wake up feeling horrible, but I still couldn't wait to get back out there again. And that, you know, there were no consequences whatsoever. You know, you're just young and having a good time. It's all good memories. And I think a lot of people can relate to that now after a year and a half of being locked up.
Absolutely. Of course, it's been terrible in lockdown. And so many artists, I mean, I've had an upturn in the pandemic because so many artists are at home and a lot of them going stir crazy and open for interviews. So instead of getting the scene where, oh, he's just in the studio, he's finishing off, he's remixing, he's just going out on tour, can't be interrupted, bang, bang. Now, you know, we're willing to have a bit of a chat, which is nice. But of course, for most people, it's put their career back a year and a half in terms of what they had planned for 20 and 2021. And I guess it's exactly the same for you. You know, when you can actually get out there. I mean, I've seen so many postponements, you know, because people say, oh, tickets are now available. And then suddenly that was in spring of this year. Then they put it off until the autumn. And will it be official that they can get out there? Everybody wants to see them. I think there's pent up emotion. People that want to get out there. They want to see gigs. They want to see live entertainment. And the other thing, of course, which is terribly important, is that save the venues, because prior to going into the pandemic, we were suffering, certainly in the UK, with a number of venues that were almost on the breadline, and things weren't going that well. Put this in for 15, 18 months, and how many of them are going to reopen? We hope all of them, and we will do our best on the radio show to support them the best way that we can. But that's the worrying thing. You know, when finally doors are open, how many of them will still be with us in terms of night spots?
Yeah, no, it's been very, very rough for everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful because I got to finish my tour before the pandemic kicked in. So my plan was kind of to do writing and recording anyway, obviously not for this long of a time, but,
no.
But I have a lot of colleagues and, you know, it's like canceling tours and, and then a lot of musicians I know that, you know, they're hired hands, so the only income they have is when people take them out on tour.
I know.
I'm lucky. I have, you know, music that's still out there getting played, and I have money in the bank. But, I mean, it's just been so rough for lots of people.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine now when we're all, you know, in the history of music, it never has there been a time where everybody is ready to hit the road at the same time.
Yes.
Like, I just can't see how that's even feasible.
I know. And it's like you've got to pick your A list and your B list and decide.
I think a lot of us might just have to hit the streets and do some busking instead.
Well, we'd still love to see Eagle Eye Cherry doing that, but we will we look forward to it. So let's play the new single. We thank you very much for your time. We wish you well, and you know, come over and see us in the UK, and we'll check you out when you come over, and that's what we're going to do. Stay on the line a second as we play I Like It from Eagle Eye Cherry. It's brand new, and you're hearing it right here on the show. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
My phone, it feels like I need to be so Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.